Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric. This is my wife, Julie. We are The Blended Life.
Yes, we are. And today we're talking about being fear-led in your blended family. We're going to say how that happens and we're going to tell you how you can overcome it. So stay tuned. It's going to be good.
Hello and welcome back. So
fear.
Fear.
It's a hard topic to broach, actually, I think, because a lot of people don't want to admit they're fearful. And to try to put into words where the fear is stemming from. See, we can't fix something if we don't know where it comes from. And I think fear is something that when we start to feel it, we push it down, or we want to ignore it, or we want to be distracted so we don't have to deal with it. But admitting fear is a really difficult thing. Do you agree?
Well, fear is something that can take control of you too. Fear is something that can overrun and overrule your life. So depending on what we're talking about in fear, this might be one of those can of worm episodes that gets out of control. People are like, he's an idiot. Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, I think that this is the perfect episode because I think men and women deal with fear very differently. And I think the beauty about our podcast is that you get the husband and wife's point of view on things that I think really we all deal with. But it's hard for women to understand men, and it's hard for men to understand women. So I think that talking about this together is going to actually be very helpful.
It's going to open that can of worms, and everyone's going to be
I'm
like,
looking at the positives here.
They're going to be like, why is he scared? What's he so afraid of? He has so much fear in him. It's going to be a can of worm topic. So you're going to have to really just hone us in here and keep us on topic. Cause I mean, fear can overrun everything.
Okay, well, fear in blended family life, like specifically where we're going is when you're living in fear and you come at doing blended family life from a place of fear.
So you mean, like, what do you mean fear? Are you talking about, like, I'm afraid my spouse might leave me, I'm afraid my spouse might cheat on me, I'm afraid my, or are we talking, like, extremes? Like, I'm afraid, like, to drive in the car because it might crash and I won't go anywhere. I mean, again, a can of worms. I mean, fear can overrule everything.
Well, when I was thinking about this topic, and, you know, it's interesting, this is something so in life coaching, you guys know very well by now, if you've listened to us for a while, that I now am a life coach for men and women in blended families. And so when I was going to school and getting certified, this is something we talked about quite often, and it's very interesting because, and we're going to talk about the four main types of fears that people experience in blended families. Okay. And I think that'll be helpful. But when we think about living in fear, what I always think about is living threatened. Like, I'm always threatened by something, either someone cheating or the backlash that I'm going to get if I make a choice or a decision, fear of being criticized, fear of not connecting, fear of losing control or being out of control. There's so many things that we, because see, anger is a secondary emotion. Anger doesn't, you're not just angry.
Usually
anger stems from
first.
Something, and usually the something is fear. And usually
or
it's
stubbing
fear.
Your toe on.
Well, because you're hurt.
I know. Yeah.
You know?
What was it? The laundry
or you're
basket.
Dumb and you just, because sometimes like I've run into things and I'm just like, that was stupid. Yeah. And I'm mad at myself.
Yeah.
Right.
I've done that. Come cruising through the kitchen too fast and just smash my hip off it. And I'm just like, that was so dumb. Like that was all your fault. You're telling yourself this, but you're so angry at the same time.
Yeah. Well, let's just dive into the four main types of fear. And then you can talk, like, I'm interested to hear your point of view because this is directly from my life coach training.
I'd say we should name this episode Fear Factor, but I believe that's already been taken and it's no longer relevant. So it wouldn't do that good.
Oh, gosh. Okay. The first type of fear that I think people experience the most in blended family is like an identity crisis. And so the fear of not knowing who you are or who you're going to be or losing like your identity. So sometimes when people marry into blended families, they're taking on new roles. Their lives are going to look very different because now you're adding multitude of people, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh shit, do I lose my identity now? I don't know who I'm going to be. And there is a quote that I'm going to read from my schooling.
Okay.
Health Coach Institute. And this quote goes so well for blended family. So listen, anytime we are trying something new, and I'm going to add in such as step parenting.
Okay.
Okay. Or blended family life. Like we're going to connect the dots to blended family life. So anytime we are trying something new and we don't have an identity of ourselves as that new version, right? We're doing something we've never done. We're having to become someone we've never been. We can't do it. Like that's how our mind goes. Like if I'm trying to do something I've never done, I have to be someone I've never been. And the fear is that I can't do it because I have no basis for reference. I have no idea who I am. And so we start our roles in blended families from a deficit. You know, we're already failing before we've even begun because we have no idea who we're supposed to be. And
well,
not, yeah, go
well,
for
I'll
it.
Say, what about like the image driven side of it where you're afraid that you're not going to look right. You're not going to feel right. Like our family doesn't look like the Brady Bunch. We don't look like the Kardashians. We don't look like this other one. And, you know, not everyone has the same hobbies or the same interests or the kids might not get along, or maybe I don't get along with my stepkid, or they don't get along, you know, my bios don't get along with their step parent. We just don't, we don't look like that right blended family. And I mean, my advice to that is like, what does a blended family look like? Like, give me, you know, give me your typical blended family. Like blended families look every way yours does.
And you would think in our society today where everything is supposed, like, gosh, we're trying to be the most inclusive society. We're not at all, but we're trying.
Most box-driven society.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
exactly. Like we're put blended families in a box.
Well, yeah, but we're not supposed to.
Put God in a box.
But we're not supposed to.
My mind.
You know, it's like, well, do it, but don't. But do it, but you're not supposed to. But
yeah,
do it, but you're not supposed
it's
to.
It's wrong, but it's the expectation.
Yeah.
That's blended family life. It's wrong, yeah, but here's an expectation.
Yeah, it's wrong, but it's reality. It's what we are, and ours looks different than yours, and yours looks different than the next listener next to you, and the you know, and the next people pulling up in the minivan beside you, dropping
or
off their perfect little
media
family.
Oh
and,
my gosh! Oh,
actually, they're not minivans anymore; they are now SUVs. And they have been.
Yeah.
How old am I?
You're really old.
Gosh, my parents.
We
had
grew
minivans.
Up in minivans. I know my Dude. Both my parents.
But I also
had
grew up in SUVs.
Oh, I never did.
Yeah,
well, minivan for life.
So, yeah, she grew up in minivans and buses.
That's true.
You're in a bus,
but
more
both
often
sets
than
of parents had minivans.
Right.
Yeah. But so the identity loss. I think that's something that we can all relate to, right? Did you ever feel like did you ever feel identity loss? Like I'm gonna join. Well, your life's completely different than it was. My life's completely different. both of our lives, if you were to look at us or know us in our 20s, like,
I couldn't you wouldn't have, even I know I could not have forecasted this for myself in right. my 20s. If you asked me if I would be sitting here trying to help blended families stay together as a passion project with no retribution, you're not going to make any money off this, but you're going to help blended families stay together because it's a passion project that you and your second wife have. I'd be like, dude, you're nuts.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. Even if I had a second wife, there's no way I had interest in this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, interesting. It's just,
so identity loss and then the identity crisis of who am I going to be? And I don't know how to do that. So therefore, there's a fear. Do you see how that's like fear-based? Is this making sense?
Yeah, you know, but it also like, I think a lot of us project like what we want to do or what we want to be, or we have this, we are very image-driven in our minds, like of what we want. And when it doesn't look right, when it doesn't feel right, you know, it's like, well, you know what? This is my reality. Like this is, I have matured. I have changed. I am becoming, I am someone different than I was in my 30s. I can say that now. Than I was in my 30s, than I was in my 20s, than I was in my teens. And I'm sure every one of you listening, like if you're listening to this right now, you're like, yeah, you know what? I am not the same person I was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And that's just reality.
So I think the lesson there is that you grow and change and adapt as seasons. You know, you're going to have to adapt to, like I'm learning to adapt to a body who can't walk very well. Or stand up from my knees like hurt so bad all the time. And it's just odd, but like you adapt to it. Right. And so I think that when, if you're entering into a new season of blended family living, instead of leaning into fear, lean into the confidence that you've leaned in, you've changed so much, right? You're different in every decade.
But that fear seeps in and it's like, oh man, like for you, for instance, like being so old, you're just like, it is so hard to walk now. And the fear of it, like, I don't walk.
I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm 80, for real.
Right. I don't move like I did in my 20s or 30s. And it's kind of fear-based. And you're like, what do I do? Like, this isn't the life I planned for myself. You know, I wanted to hike Mount Fuji at age 80. You know, like I wanted to get Grand there. Canyon. Like that's one of my things.
It's so funny. One of my other life coach friends, she actually, shout out to Haley, if you ever hear this, she is an adventure coach. And so one of the things she is passionate about is hiking. And so she's hiked all over. She just came back from Peru.
Okay.
And so she's like, in October, I'm going to take a group of people and do rim to rim to rim of the Grand Canyon. And I'm all, I want to go. And she's like,
She calls you out with an, how old like, is she? Like ish.
In her late 30s.
Okay.
30s. But she works out 20 times. Like she's very trained for this.
She doesn't only work out once a day like you. She works out multiple times a day.
She's just, this is what her life is, right? Okay. But she's very, she hikes. I mean, she like packs a tent. And goes hiking and hikes the next day for days. Stop. I really think it would be fun. It's like something I would love to do.
Then do it. What's stopping you? I need to get you into the life coach.
Because she will leave me.
This life coach I know, becominghernow@gmail.com. Email her. She'll give you a free breakthrough session. Okay. You can talk to her for free. And she will show you that you are in control of you and your destination.
I just would need to train. It was just funny though, because she knows me and she's just like, I would take you rim to rim, but maybe not.
Yeah, baby. Did you wink at her?
The last rim. Okay. Moving on. The second fear is that the first fear obviously was fear around identity. The second fear that I believe most people experience in blended families is a loss of autonomy. What's that? Well, a loss of autonomy is when you feel like restricted or overwhelmed or entrapped or controlled by circumstances. So basically you feel like you're controlled, you know, and you're trapped. Like I can't go do what I want to do anymore the way I want to do it. You know, there's a sense of helplessness and powerlessness around there. And I think this is a big one for step parents, especially because you feel like, gosh, all the responsibility, none of the power, none of the final say, but I'm supposed to show up and pour in, but that's, you know, and not care. So I think that this is a big one for step parents, and that's a hard one to wrestle with. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, the fear literally can overwhelm and it take over when there's nothing there in the first place. And I think that's what, it's a
tough. But when you fear losing your autonomy, right?
Yeah.
You fear losing your sense of control because now you're in a blended family and you don't have much control as a step parent.
Well, you think you don't. But that, I mean, it's a fear. It's a fear, but it's an emotion that isn't really your reality. You have as much control as you take. And I think that is something that we get hung up on. Why you want to smile and laugh at me?
Oh, no, it's just you and I see that kind of differently. But you've helped reframe. No, I think that you've helped me reframe that a little bit. And I've shared that in our podcast before, but I've always believed and said that step parents have as much power as your significant other, the bio parent in the home, is willing to give you. So it does no good for me to be like, I'm going to discipline this, and then bio parent comes home and is like, oh no, you can play video games. It's
fine. But see here, but this is the interesting part about it, because especially you being the life coach and the life coach that you are, because you are you're very pointed. You really hone in on people and teach them. You have full control of yourself. You have full control of your destiny.
Yeah.
Destiny. And I guess here's a weird way of looking at it. It's like me being a believer, and a believer in anything. It could be God. It could be religion. But in this case, it's having control of who you are and your destiny. And you being the life coach, but you're new to the religion. And I really believe that you can do whatever you want to do. You can be whoever you want to be. You can have as much control as you want to have. Mm-hmm. And you're
So here, this is interesting, because as you're saying that, what's coming into my mind about this is, I guess you're right. I mean, I could say and do whatever the hell I wanted.
Yep.
That's the truth. I do have that choice. I think then
it's the fear.
The fear of consequence.
Yes.
Right? I guess that's more
and
of
that's what
I'm trying to get at. It's like, you know, if I cross a boundary, if I do or say something that my significant other isn't going to support, especially with my stepchild, and then my significant other undoes it, then I will lose respect.
That's what we don't have control of.
We can't control other people's reactions to what we do. And I think the fear around that is, listen, I don't want to, it sucks to not respect your spouse.
Right.
You know, it sucks to have connection broken with your spouse. It sucks to fight with your spouse. It sucks to be, you know, criticized or whatever it is. And it's kind of like when you come from a past relationship like I did, I just have no bandwidth for conflict. I have a fear of that.
Right. But I think that is your biggest holdup, is not, it's the fear because of past circumstances, what's happened in the past. And
no, I think it's just fear. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Over it.
But again, but that's your choice.
My choice.
That's a choice. Now,
absolutely.
As being a step parent, we can show up any way we want. If I want to discipline your kids and I want to raise your kids to be just how I want to raise my kids, I can show up and start doing that. And I might not like the consequences at first, but I could throw my weight around and start to hone in.
Hence why there's a 70% divorce rate.
Right, there is. But I'm not saying that you have to do this from a negative standpoint. I don't have to come home and be a dick about it. I don't have to be mean or rude to you or your kids. You know, I can do it from a loving point. And again, going back, if you guys have ever listened to this before, communication. If I just communicate with you and we talk through it, eventually we're going to talk ourselves onto a path that works for, let's hear it.
No, I love that romanticized version.
It's not romantic. It's not. I mean, maybe in a nutshell, maybe.
The romanticized version of, we're going to communicate and talk about it. That sounds wonderful.
It sounds wonderful.
That's not how shit happens.
It's not. If getting from A to Z, you have all the rest of the letters of the alphabet in between. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy task. Just like if someone comes to you for coaching, you can teach someone how to do this. You could teach someone how to literally take control of their destiny and be who they want to be.
Yes, I can.
But you have to be willing to go down that path. You have to be willing to participate on that journey. If you want to do all the rims.
Now I'm laughing about it.
Then you can train for that. No, at 40 absolutely. Years old, at 50, 60, at 80 years old. If you're like, I am going to take control of these rims and I'm going to do them all, then you could be the rim master. I'm not even joking. You can literally train for anything, but in something like this, a blended family, you have a partner. Your spouse is your partner, which is this right here, you guys. When everyone's like, oh, put your kids above your partner, and we get a lot of hate mail because of this, and people want us to put our kids before our spouses. This right here is why you need to put your spouse above your kid, because they are your partner. They're the ones that are going to get you through this and are helping you make these hard decisions.
I just always wonder for the people who put kids before spouse, what happens when the kids move out? Or do they, maybe they never move out. Like, but what happens when you've put your kids
You could debate this all day long.
I'm just curious.
It's just, yeah. We just go from more of a biblical standpoint. My point is, though, that if we take control of this and we stop letting the fear come into us and basically rule us and do what we're going to do, you can do anything. You literally can do anything. And I'm telling the coach right now. I'm telling the
You're coaching the coach.
I'm coaching the coach because, like, truthfully, like, truly, and I know you know this because you teach this to people, but when it comes to our reality, if you're like, I want to be on board with me, with Eric. Julie wants to be on board with Eric.
You're very presumptuous.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
If you do,
I was just joking.
It's completely doable. It just might be more work than you're willing
to
put
and
in.
I think it's all about choice. And I, you know, obviously most of us don't live with a gun to our head. You know, most of us can freely choose how we show up and how we behave and how we engage and how we agree, disagree, how we communicate. Like, these are all choices. And I think what I'm understanding for myself, which is why you guys talk about, have these discussions, because I've realized without discussing things and talking things out, some of the biggest realizations about myself so that I can move on would never have happened. So I'm always like, listen and talk at home. But I think that, you know, it is that I have to choose the path of least resistance for myself, especially in areas that I don't care to engage in, such as conflict. And that's my choice.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm just uninterested. I don't want to. And you might, like anybody else might want to. Some people thrive on conflict, and I don't think conflict is bad. I just think for me in this season in life, not interested. Right. I don't want it. And that's my choice.
I think a lot of people in blended families can relate to that. A lot of us are just sick of the drama.
I'm over it. We have conflict with our exes. Like, you know, we have conflict with the kids. Like, I have conflict with family. I'm not interested in my safe. Like, you're my safe space.
Well, I think that's why it takes us so long to really dial in our program. Like, our personal home program.
Our program? We have a program?
We do. We all have programs. But our home, what our home looks and feels like, and what our blended family looks and feels like, isn't what we ever set out to be. This isn't what we ever anticipated. When you and I got married, we're like, this is what we are looking at. You know what I mean?
I don't feel like we ever had those discussions.
I don't think we did, too, but your brain did. Your mind had an image in it. My mind had an image in it. We both
just never discussed it. So discuss these things. What do you want your blended family to look like? Probably should do that before you get married.
Right. Or even if you haven't discussed it and it's just going away and it's not the way that we intended for it to be. This isn't my life that I intended to have when I was 20 years old. This isn't the life you intended to have when you were 20 years old. Right? But it is what it is. It's our reality.
But it is what it is.
It is, but it's our reality. And here's the thing, like, our reality, like, take control of your reality. Like, if you want to argue and make your reality different, do it. If you're sick of arguing and you are just a present part of your reality, that's okay too. But you don't like to argue. I really don't like to argue. Actually, I don't like to argue. I probably don't like to argue less than you like to argue. Mm. I do not like to argue. I hate it. Because it just ruins everything. It ruins your day. But where we are right now is our reality. So being present in that and just accepting it. And sometimes we have to change. Like, what I envision our family being, and I mean, even right now, sitting here, right here in this chair, talking in this microphone, where I want our family to be in 10 years from now is probably not my reality. It's going to happen the way it happens and plays out. So I can either choose to go on defense and combat it and not be a part of it and fight it the whole way, or I can choose to take control of it and lend as much into it and be as present in it as I could possibly be. Mm. And I think that is where the control comes from. It's not like I'm actually going to grab this thing and shift it in every way that I want and make every kid and every stepkid be exactly who I want them to be, and my wife's going to be
exactly who I... You don't have that power.
No, well, that's what I mean. Like, we want to. Like, we have this image and this control. Yeah. Like, as humans, we have...
I always tell my clients during a breakthrough session, so if you ever have a breakthrough session with me, you're going to hear me say this. And if you've already had one, you're going to hear it again. But it's so funny because it's when we talk about what we want, when I ask clients what they want, more often than not, it's, I want my husband to do this. Mm. I want my ex to do this. I want my stepkids to do this. I want my children to do this. And I always am like, I chuckle because I said, well, you know, if I had the power to change people, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Right.
I would have that patented and I would be in the Maldives on my hut in the ocean living my best life and traveling the world.
Is that where you mind readers go?
Yeah. Mm. But like, if I had the power to physically go change people, right? No one has that power to change anyone. You know, as a life coach, I can give you tools, but you're going to have to change yourself. And I'm going to help you with that. I will lead you down that path. And I will give you all the tools you need to do it. But it's ultimately you that have to change yourself. And by changing yourself, you shift relationships. And that's the power. So if you guys want a free breakthrough session with me, give me a call. Email me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and we can set something up. But we can't change people.
That's it.
And that would be really awesome.
That's it.
But that would be out of control. Could you imagine a world where we could change people?
It's called social media. They're working on it.
Okay. The third greatest fear in blended families. Are you ready?
I got it.
The fear of separation, abandonment, or rejection. So we feel like, see, this is an interesting one because we feel like if we join this blended family or we lean in or we are vulnerable and we give our hearts and we connect, then we're going to be abandoned or rejected or there's going to be a separation, like there's going to be divorce, right? So we kind of put walls up and we don't really get into it because maybe you've been hurt before, but there's that fear of rejection, this fear of not being wanted, right? A fear of not being valued, not being respected by the other person. And the problem is that it's interesting with this one because the more you lean in, if you're somebody who has this fear, the more you lean in and the more you're vulnerable and the more you grow connection, it can actually make this fear worse for you because you're just waiting for the rejection to come. Right. You're just sitting in fear of like, I'm going to not be wanted. He's going to leave me like my ex left me and, you know, or my stepkids are going to reject me and I don't want to deal with that. So I'm not even going to try. Or, you know, if you're a parent even, right, we pull back sometimes because we don't want to get hurt by our kids or, you know, whatever it looks like. What are your thoughts on this one?
I mean, again, like, yes, fear leads everything.
Okay.
Like, you can't give me an open-ended question like that. Like, what? Yes.
We're just going through the four different types of fear people experience.
No, you are right on. You're the horse to our glue factory. I mean, you are really, are killing it.
He just called me a horse.
That's I did.
The fourth fear is the fear of humiliation, shame, or worthlessness. So sometimes, you know, this is when there's a death to our ego, right? If we're seen as worthless and we try and our trying falls flat, then that really hurts our ego. It's like death to ego instead of death cab.
It's like,
cutie.
Yeah, it's like my jokes. Yeah. My ego is just deflated now because it fell flat.
You know, if I am, so if you think that like I am bad, if I need love, but I'm bad and I'm doing bad, then how can I connect to get love? So if we're feeling like someone's shaming us in our family or criticizing or humiliating us, and we're receiving that as like, well, then I'm bad, but I need love. Well, how can I connect when I'm bad? And so the shame, this fear of shame can build walls too and break, and like you can't do anything with that. So there's a fear that a lot of people have around that. And triggers would be if you made a mistake, right? Like, gosh, we all make mistakes in blended family. We're human. We are going to make mistakes, but we're afraid to make mistakes, right? Criticism can trigger this fear a lot in people too. So that's the fourth and final fear.
What do I think about that?
No, I don't.
What do you mean by bad? Like, I mean, Michael Jackson bad? I mean, because there's good bad, there's bad bad, and then there's...
Well, no, like, if you're doing a bad job, like, if you feel like, you know, there's sometimes where your spouse is going to be like, you're doing awesome, and I'm so appreciative, and the kids are, you know, and you feel like, I'm doing a good job, like, I'm a good person. But when you're experiencing shame and humiliation and worthlessness, that you tend to start believing that you're bad or there's something wrong with you or you're not a good stepmom or you're not a good wife or you're not a good mom or you're not a good co-parent. You're bad. Does that make sense?
Your butt is wide and mine is too. Oh, wait, no, that was Weird Al, huh? I was thinking Michael Jackson, but Michael Jackson was bad.
So let's reframe fear, because I think the first way to combat fear is to not make it the enemy. Because when fear is the enemy, then you give it more power than really is necessary. And so what is something that I love about my School Health Coach Institute was they gave us this this reframe of fear, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that. You were super excited about this.
Yeah. Fear is excitement on pause.
Explain that. I would like a visual of this. Like,
okay, you're going to bungee jump.
Okay.
And you're up there and you've never done it before and you're so afraid, but you're so like
off the
Grand
Canyon,
excited, and you can't, it's like that. And then you jump and it all goes away, right? Because you're in it and it's exciting and it's fun.
Okay.
But like that's kind of it. Like,
but
fear,
I feel like if you pause something, you have to unpause. Yeah, but you have to bring it back. It has to come back.
Right.
Because it's paused, like it has to continue.
Fear
on.
Is excitement on pause. So when you press the play button and you go through and you do it,
then the fear's gone and you're just like,
what do
all
you
right,
have left to be afraid of?
Just excitement. Well, probably right? Swinging back and hitting that wall. That's
but
why
you know
don't
what
bungee
I mean?
Jump from the Grand Canyon.
It's like when something big's going to happen and you're just about to lean in or you're going to make a big decision. You know, think about taking out a loan for a house and it's a lot of money and how are we going to pay it? And there's a lot of fear around that. But it's a really exciting thing to be able to do that and make that big choice. And so when you know what I'm trying to say?
Oh, I hear you loud and clear.
So fear is excitement on pause. And I think that's really awesome because it's hopeful, right? Like if you can see that this is an exciting thing, like even if it's not great, you know, fear of failure. Let's talk about that. Failure isn't bad. Failure is just a lesson learned. And the more you learn, the more you know, the better you're going to be off in life. Like the better off you're going to be. So instead of thinking failure is bad or wrong or whatever, understand that it's a lesson learned. You can reframe things to kind of take the sting and power out of them so that you can push past them. If fear is so big and you've made it into this huge wall and there's no hope, you're never going to go over the wall or break through the wall or dig under the wall, you know? So I think that reframing is a really important thing. And so I just love that. Fear is excitement on pause.
Kool-Aid man, he reframed himself and he goes through the walls now. He has no fear.
Yeah. So what's the biggest problem with fear?
I think the biggest problem with fear is the perception of it. I think fear is unknown. Fear is truly just being, you don't know what's going to happen. And it's a negative effect on you because, I mean, if we had the definition of fear, I could very easily type it on my phone right now. But it probably has something like that. Like, fear is something about, are you going to do it? It's got to be like there's an unknown to it that is detrimental to your thoughts and your image. Are you ready to read it?
Fear. And then pleasant. No shit. Sorry.
Is that all it says?
No. Oh. An unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or a threat. So living in,
I feel like in about 10 minutes threatened. I could rewrite that a little bit better, a little clearer.
Do it, and I'll post it on social media.
Okay.
But so I think I like your idea that the fear is like the unknown, right? Which is kind of, so if you frame it like that, well, then fear is unreasonable because no one has a crystal ball.
Well, and
you
that's
have
it.
No idea.
That's it, because you're speculating, yeah. And usually you're speculating from other circumstances that maybe wasn't your circumstance, but usually fear, like for instance, if you let a brand new puppy out in the front yard and it walks out into the road and gets hit by a car, it had no fear. It had no fear, or a child, you know what I mean? A brand new child.
Okay, let's just.
Well, listen, there's no fear there because they have not seen consequences. They have not seen anything.
There's no basis.
There's no basis or baseline, however you want to put it, to create
point
fear.
Point of reference.
Usually fear is driven by other circumstances, past circumstances, other things that you've seen around you that draw fear because you're like, ooh, I've seen the fail video on this. Like, this did not go
fail
well.
The fail video, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, and I also, you know, not everyone who listens to us is a Christ follower, but I also want to say that for those of us who are, give credit where credit's due. I think that the devil fear is like his work also, you know, knows our weaknesses, knows where he can get a foothold, and knows that he can control with fear. I mean, I don't care what side of the aisle you are on politically, politicians, all of them lead with fear. The media, go watch the news, all fear led. You know, you watch a press conference from the White House, all fear led, or ignorance. I don't know. Pick one. But I'm just saying fear is a powerful tool. And I think that we have to understand a lot of fear doesn't come even from ourselves. It is from outside sources. It is unreasonable. It is spiritual warfare. And I think that it helps to be able to understand that you can overcome these things, especially when it's not from you. Some fear comes from you, but some a lot fears. Doesn't.
Well, a lot I'm of fear comes from you. So, you know, I'm thinking back to this video. I think it was on social media like forever ago, but like someone handing like a tribesman like out in the bush of like
what
Africa
is happening right now,
somewhere far, like some third world country, handing them a weapon, a gun. There's zero fear there. They have no idea what this thing is, what it does, how it works, what it's capable of doing. I'm trying to make it less.
Thank you.
Car and smashed anything driven. Yeah, then
appreciate that.
God just put a gun in your hand, and you have no idea what
I've
this
never seen it.
Of.
I never. It looks like a piece of art that someone made.
Now, have you ever personally seen a gun physically hurt someone? Like in your eye
like
to eye,
not on TV.
Not on TV. Have you ever seen a gun cause destruction or anything?
I have
like
not.
That? No. So all your fear that if I were to hand you or hand your child a gun. Are you really thinking about this? You're like,
well, I'm thinking my dad. Well, no, because my dad hunted and stuff like that. But I'm like, I don't even think I saw him. I'm trying to think of like hunting.
But all your perceptions around a gun,
the
or
news,
a weapon,
the media,
anything,
movies,
anything, TV shows,
outsourced,
social media, watching the fail videos.
Well, it does. You know? So that matters. Then what we put into our heads and what we put into our children's heads, like what we're allowing people to be.
I'm just thinking about what you guys were watching on TV before I left. Like, oh yeah, no big deal. Like mass murder. Like
she was watching American Monster.
Yeah, no big deal.
Did anybody watch that show? We're into true crime.
Oh, it's true. All right.
And more fearful.
Yeah.
one of the things I, the biggest problem I think with fear in relation to blended families, because we know that blended families break up a lot. It's very hard to stay together forever in a blended family.
I heard 70% of the time they break up every time.
But here's the problem. When you let fear lead, you're fear led, you're sure to break connection every time. And that's a really big problem in blended families who are starving for connection from day one. And the little connection you do make is sure to break if you're being fear led. And I think that that is a probably the biggest problem with fear and probably the reason we need to get this under control ASAP. Yeah?
Yeah.
And that is even in marriage. Like, never mind blended families. If you're just a married person, what fears do you live with in marriage?
Well, and how true or how possible or reasonable are all these fears that you live with? A lot of times people live with a lot of real insecurities, I mean, if you will.
Well, and insecurities fear-based.
And insecurities are all fear-based. But a lot of them are from past circumstances, past relationships, you know, your past marriage, and it has kind of has nothing to do with your new spouse or your family now or the job that you're in now or the partner that you're with now or, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things, you know, and just to give a silly example, like, you know, you may have had a car that would crap out on you all the time and the alternator would go out once a week on your other car because the batteries would just eat it
Does
up.
Does this happen?
Maybe to some people. So you get a brand new shiny car and this car is perfect.
The alternator goes out?
No, the alternator never goes out, but you're always afraid that it's going to.
Oh.
So you won't take a cross-country trip in this car because you're afraid the alternators go out because you're traumatized by the last one.
And you're afraid your car is going to reject you again.
And just go and, go on
disappoint you, let you down.
Go on a car ride with someone else and just leave you at home alone while you're there to raise the motorcycles and it's out.
Well, where I think you're going with this, and this is our next section, our final section, is how to overcome fear. Like, what do we do about this? We've identified it. We've acknowledged it. You know, you might be able to connect some dots to where your anger stems from or your insecurities stem from. It's usually fear. So when you can nail that down, now what? And we have some ways that you can let go of fear. So first thing is you need to create new habits. Period.
Question mark.
And that is something coaching does.
Yeah.
So reach out to me if you want to know more about that.
Becoming heard now on aisle 5.
At gmail.com. Yes, reach out. But creating new habits. The second thing you need to do, and this is what Eric was talking about earlier, is seek the truth and don't assume. So the proactive thing to do is when you're afraid, be a truth seeker. Have you seen a gun? Well, I don't want to get it. People are going to hate us. Never mind. I don't even care about that.
Have you seen hints of your spouse cheating on you? Are they really cheating on you? And by seek the truth, I don't mean like start going and stalking all their social media and
putting a tracker on their car.
Yeah, and just taking extremes. I think that's a problem with That's being fear-led and fear-driven. Because if you do that, now all of a sudden, it's going to consume you. It's going to be everything.
It'll eat you up inside.
That you see and that you hear and that, you know, unless you've, like, seen something, you know, and there's a good suspicion. A lot of times, I don't know about men, but women's intuition is pretty good. Like, if you really feel something.
God did us a solid by giving us intuition, let me tell you. But I think you're right, and I think it breaks connection, too. I mean, you're going to behave anxious and paranoid. You're going to break connection. And operating anxiously and out of paranoia is fear-based.
Well, and you're also, what else I've seen happen in stuff like this, not in our relationship, but in other relationships around me, is people dig and dig and dig until they find something. And that something's probably not what they're initially looking for, but it's something enough to be just enough taboo And I'm not even talking like anything just, like crazy, like something that
a winky face emoji,
something that you and I would be like, yeah, that's no big deal. Like, that's your cousin.
You would take it out of the you know oh, what I mean? Dear, what are you saying to your cousin?
But
I'm laughing inside because you talk to beautiful women all day long, every day.
It's my job too. I also talk to beautiful men. You know,
I'm also like, if I went through your phone, I would see or your social media.
I also talk to ugly men, old men, women, young women.
I'm just
women,
saying, it's just funny because, you know, like, I could make something out of nothing.
That's my point.
Very easily.
I'm like, I talk to on a normal basis, probably about 100 people a week. You know what I mean? On all walks of life. Now, if you wanted to go dig into this, you could pick out the younger, prettier, fit, put them in whatever
I'm
your box.
Sure, I could.
That's what I mean. But you would be leaving out the old men. You'd be leaving out the old women. You'd be leaving out, you know, the people that are
the young men.
The young men, the Christian based,
the pregnant women,
family, you know, husband and wife team. Yeah, exactly. I have a young, you know, cute little couple, husband and wife team that
Stop
are pregnant
bragging.
Right now.
You're just bragging now.
I'm just saying, like, you know, you could take that and run with it, or you could take.
Is the baby yours? That's,
and it wouldn't be unheard of. I mean, there That's are funny. Literally people that would be like, yeah, like questionable about
oh
it.
My gosh.
Well, you guys 9 months ago or whatever, 8 months, however long
you guys viewed a house together.
Exactly.
What did you do in those bedrooms?
And I'm like, you know what? If we wanted to go get a chart and a calendar out, there was probably within like a couple weeks a time that I was alone with him or her in this, you know.
Oh,
so that's my point, though. It becomes a huge rabbit hole that you can go down, and if you want to find something, you can make it make sense to you.
No, what you believe is what you're going to find.
Yeah.
So if you believe that somebody's doing you wrong, you'll find something to prove yourself right. 100%. Like, that
even
is
if
just
it doesn't
it.
Make full sense, and then you'll I'll call you crazy,
right.
And then,
So a third thing you can do for yourself, and this is something Eric already has said, but in different words, but make sure when you feel like fear is taking over or you're going to lead with fear, that you stay present, because fear always lives in the future. Fear of what's to come, what's going to happen if I do this. And so if you can knock off the future thinking and just be very mindful to stay present in the here and now, it will help you deal with fear.
Right.
And that's something you kind of already said. This is something we've already said too, but bring appreciation to fear. And that's weird, but really, what can you learn from this, right? How can you grow? How can this fear make you grow as a person or better you? It might be challenging you in an area of your life that you need to grow up. You know, you need to overcome. There's something you need to let go of, which will only make you better, your relationships better, and your blended family stronger. So instead of being like so anxious about being fearful, appreciate it, embrace it, deal with it. Because the more you shove it down, push it aside, distract from it, it grows like, you know, mushrooms grow in the dark. Well, that's kind of like fear. The more you put it in the dark, the more it's going to grow. So bring it to light, acknowledge it, and work through it. Does that make sense? Okay.
So, I was going to make a funny mushroom joke, but you're shaking your head.
Well,
now.
I'm just on a roll.
I know. Like,
let me go.
Glue factory. Here we go.
If there's something you're fearful about, one of the best things you can do is surround yourself with successful people. So if you were fearful about starting a business, go connect with other entrepreneurs who have done it, right?
We were just talking with some people that were entrepreneurs starting a business, and they did something that I probably never would have done, especially being an entrepreneur myself. They went and talked to other business owners in the same business as them.
It was so
great,
huh? In
the same industry as them.
It's so neat.
And they're like, out of all the people we talked to, like, only one really, like, connected with them and helped them through it. But I'm like,
that's genius.
That's gnarly. Like, that's a cool thing. That's a cool way that they're doing it.
Right.
You know, who wants to give away their tips, tricks, and secrets? I've had other people reach out to me in the same industry.
Yeah,
I'm like, wait, I'm not going to give you my secrets. Like, there's a reason I'm successful. I'm not going to get, like, what? I don't share this for free. Anyways.
Anyway, yeah, but I think that if it's, you know, if you're fearful about being a good stepmom or, you know, you're going to lose your identity, get connected with other step-parents,
and
right?
Step-parenting isn't a business. I mean, it's our business, but step-parents will actually help one another.
Yeah, or marriages, right? If you want a successful marriage, man, go find somebody who's been married 50 years. And become like, as a couple, befriend this married couple who's been married 50 years.
And listen, if this is like a new thing to you and you're like, I know no one in this area, I don't know anyone. First thing I'd recommend is like, go get connected at a church if you're not already. Second thing is like, if you are just like, I need someone, this is why I'm listening to your podcast. We're almost 50 minutes in and I'm still listening here because I need clarity on something. Reach out to us. We're on all the socials. You know, look for us. Email Julie at becominghurdnow. Find Blended Life on any social media channel and reach out to us. If you need help getting connection, Julie just connected an author or is going to connect an author with one of our listeners who is also one of your clients. Like it's all full circle. And it's like,
we're
it's
about
a beautiful
creating
thing.
Community.
It's literally why we exist.
Yes. And this is something, this is why coaching works, because you weren't created to do life alone. So when you're trying to tackle life's hardest things that come your way and you want to isolate because you're afraid, you're going to get more of the same. You know, it's not going to be something you can overcome. The second you get in community and are able to be sharpened by somebody else or, you know, be inspired or encouraged and motivated by somebody else and get wisdom, man, life becomes endless possibilities at that point. But you stay stuck in the dark. So it's so important to get surrounded by people that can help you. Gosh, surrender what you can't control. I think this is a really important thing about fear. And when I think of surrender, I think of let go. You cannot move forward without letting go of something. It's imagine if you're on the monkey bars on a playground, right? You have to let go of the back one before you can swing forward, and you'll never finish the monkey bars if you won't let go of any bar, right? So if you want to overcome fear, there's going to be shit to let go of and figure it out so that you can ultimately let go of fear. But we hold on so tightly to either our victim story, like Eric said, you know, your past is informing your present, which is going to make you afraid of the future. So you know kind of then I have work to do to let go of my past so that it doesn't, you know, ruin my present and destroy my future. And so there's just always something to let go of. So if you can surrender of what you can't control what happened in your past. It's done. You're not going to go relive it. You're not going to go, you know,
change it. Your history. Yeah.
You can't control it. You know, you can't control changing other people. So if you're going to be afraid because you can't control other people, surrender that. You have no power to change other people. And so I think it's a lot of being real with yourself and letting go of what you can't control. Yeah?
Yeah.
Gratitude changes everything. You know, if you were living a life of gratitude for everything you had, what would there be to be afraid of? I'm grateful, you know, today I'm married. I'm grateful for this family. I'm grateful I have a roof over my head. I'm grateful I have a career I love. I'm grateful our bills are paid every month. I'm great. You know, when you start bringing gratitude, I'm grateful for new friendships I'm making. I'm grateful our children are all alive and healthy and are connected to us. I'm grateful that all of our children's parents are alive so they can experience them even. Then it doesn't seem so scary, right? And so I think one way to combat fear is with gratitude.
Well, what if you can turn that fear or that, you know, and that gratitude, what if you can take that towards situations like your ex, for instance, your ex's new spouse, and you can find the gratitude in that?
Oh, I've had to.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're good at that.
Yeah.
I feel like we try to practice that.
Yes.
And it helps really just
calm you down.
Calm you down. Even when you know you don't get along with them, you know you don't
right.
see eye to eye with them. You
know
that. You
can be grateful even if you don't like them.
There's still things to find yep. to be grateful. 100%. Even if you have a situation, not even like ours, you have a situation where your ex isn't present, you know, or your child's biological parent isn't present. You can find gratitude in some of that probably because now yeah. look, now you have your babies all the time. You get to raise them how you want them. That's just an example.
There's
you can find gratitude.
Something to be grateful yeah. for, you know, and this is the thing, like I know divorce made me a better mom. And there's a lot I could say about divorce and not having my family and all these things. But one of the things I'm very grateful for is that divorce pushed me into being the best mom I can possibly be for my children. And I'm not perfect and I have struggles and I wish I were better at 10,000 things, but
here's the thing though.
But I can bring gratitude to such a horrible thing that happened.
Right.
And know how it bettered me.
You know, it's funny because I feel like that about being a father. I'm like, oh, like divorce made me a better father. But you know what? Had I not gotten a divorce, had you not gotten a divorce,
I would have been a different mom.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you think you would have been a lesser mom?
No, I don't think that my value would have been any different.
That's what I'm saying, where you're like, it made me a better mom. Like, I don't think it made you a better mom. I think it made you a different mom.
I think it made me a more present mom okay. and a more, like, one of the best things. So this is something that you may relate to or not, but not having my kids all the time is hard. I miss them every time they're gone. However, what I'm grateful for that people who have their kids all the time don't get to have is that I get a break. You know, I get to pour into myself and see my friends without feeling guilty because I don't have my kids, right? We theoretically could go out of town on a weekend and not have to find childcare and the scramble of that, or, you know, feel bad for leaving the kids at home, or I get to fill my cup when the kids are gone so that when they're back, my cup is filled, I'm happy, I'm rested, and I'm ready for them, and I'm excited to see them. So that's the mom they get to experience, is like a fulfilled, happy, rested, cup filled, I poured into myself, I can work late on certain nights and not feel bad about it. You know, there's just,
there's things. So what you're saying is I need a part-time wife.
Yes.
So that we could be rested, fulfilled, then happy to see me.
Yes. And then I've the often best wife. Said I needed a wife.
You need a wife?
I need a wife.
What? Where have I for this conversation?
Okay. Well, you can have the wife too. Well, we need a sister wife.
Okay, listen, you guys. So these TV shows actually pay off if you men are listening. Let them watch the shows. It might take a while, but this we're going to have some off-air conversations now. If you guys are interested, sign up, becomingheardnow@gmail.com. She's taking free consultations, apparently.
No, but I think that it's a benefit. It's hard to miss your kids, and there's a really dark side to not having your kids half the time. You miss right. out on half their life. Like, my mind goes there. I miss out on half of their life. They're having
that was
experiences
my biggest thing at the beginning
I'm not
of
going
it.
to witness or be a part of. There's decisions in their life that I'm not a part of at all, and it's a really dark place that can destroy your joy. And so you have to bring gratitude. Well, what can I be grateful about in this situation? And I know that the mom they get is a superior version of myself than probably would have been.
Right.
Does that make sense? Not that my value is different. It's no, just how I'm showing up is different.
Yeah, because you're having time to reflect and rest.
And appreciate them.
And appreciate by missing. You know, appreciate by it's loss, but it's not quite loss. It's loss that comes back.
Right.
And I think that's the
tricky
part of it.
And time is precious with them.
Yeah. That was one of my biggest fears during divorce and 50-50 custody is like, holy crap. Like I'm literally losing any way you slice or dice it. I'm losing half of my child's upbringing of their childhood. And that like was devastating to me, you know? So every time. It, you know, it's worked out differently than that, but it always became one of those things that I was like, man, you know, time is precious with my kids. And like, you know, some people might think that we're closer than, you know, a child and, you know, his father should be, you know, but I'm like, listen, like, my child and I, like, we trust one another, you know? Yeah, we fight, we argue, we get along great, we do all the things, you know? Like, we have a relationship, but it's because we value one another, you know? And I think that is, that's relationship. And some people might not be able to understand that, but it's stemmed from a place of, like, realizing, you know, a place of loss, really. You're like, man, time is precious. And if we don't spend the time with them now, it's going to be too late.
Yeah, but my warning to that way of thinking is you can get sucked down into that depression and sadness, and you can let that fear of, like, the FOMO, right? Fear of missing out with my children.
Yeah, but you got to be.
You can let that lead, and then your kids are going to come back, and they're going to get a sad, depressed, you know, or, like,
well,
what did you do? Like, you know,
you got to be careful how you do it. Like, you can't just, like, all in my kids, I'm marrying my children because this is it.
No, I'm just saying if you get sucked into that dark side of missing your kids half the time, which I've done, Eric's done, then who they get when they come home is going to be a very different person than if you can find the good and the gratitude and appreciation to having a break. If you can bring what can I appreciate about this situation? And you can let that light in, it frees you up and creates space for joy so you can enjoy your kids when they're there. Does that make sense? Like, my kids used to come home in the beginning and I was grieving their loss still. And they got a really sad mom because they came home and it was just a reminder that I missed out. Like, I knew when they were gone, I was sad. Then they'd walk into the door and I'm like, oh, I've missed out on half of your life. And it made me even more sad to see them. Like, it was a cycle that was really, really devastating and really depressing. And so I knew I had to break it because that's not who I wanted to be for my kids. And I hope that they feel that they have a different mom than that now. I'm usually pretty excited to see them. Unless they are getting to be teenagers. So that shifts, you guys. Here's the last thing I want to say to help you overcome fear. Know that you're not alone, right? You're not the only person to have faced this struggle, this circumstance. You're not the only. See, I think that's the lie that we believe, like, our fear. Like, we're the only ones, you know,
you
isolate.
No one's special.
But here's the truth. There, you know, and this is what gives me comfort when I'm battling fear. I know I'm not the only one that has dealt with this fear. And I know that millions of people before me have gotten through it. Like, I remember when I was pregnant and I was so scared of childbirth the first time because I had never done it. And I heard how painful it was. I watched birthing videos and I'm just like, shit, like I don't want to. I don't want to. And my first child was, this is TMI, but my first child was a pill baby. So I wasn't even trying to get pregnant and I wasn't ready. You know, his conception was meant to be, but, like, I wasn't looking to be a mom right then. So, when it came time to give birth, I just was freaking out the closer it got because I didn't know how. Like, how do you, what is the logistics of pushing a baby out?
Push from number one, not from number two.
No, they tell you, like, push, you're going to poop.
Well, I didn't.
So my point is, what calmed me down, and this is something I still think about, is, like, how many hundreds of millions, billions, trillions of women have given birth before me, like, if they
can not pooped.
Well, if they can do it, certainly I can. Certainly I can. Like, I am no one special. Like, I am not the exception. I am the rule. So I can do this. And if I can't, they will cut the baby out of me. Like, I'll get through it because I'm not the first one to do it. I'm not going to be the last one to do it. And so when I put it into perspective like that, it calmed me down and it gave me faith, like, I can do this. So in your blended family situation, you're not alone in your fears and in your struggle. There are other people going through it too. There are other people who have made it to the other side. A lot of families do break up, but you know what? A lot of families stay together. There are success stories. there are great stepmoms who have figured it out. Not that they're any better or worse. It's just that they've gotten to the other side where kids have moved on and out. And so know that you are not alone in this. And I think that helped calm me down to know I'm not the only one.
Well, does that ever help you? Like you said, like regardless, if you're not going to push out your baby, they're going to cut it out of you. Regardless, something's going to happen.
Is coming out.
Something is going to happen. It's the same thing in blended family and marriage and relationships. Even if you do nothing, it's still a choice. Something's going to happen. Like, something is going to happen one way or another, whether we like it or not. So why not do the best we can to help the situation just go along a lot smoother? Be happy with our outcomes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Get over yourself and get over the fear. Well, I think to get over fear, you have to get over yourself.
One more time, like, if you guys are worried about this and, like, I don't know how to control this, I feel out of control, hit up Julie, becomingherdnow at gmail.com, and you will help them take control, right? I've seen it numerous times.
It's what I do.
And she has return clients, people that are like, this is so good, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for more. And not just once, not just twice, multiple times now. So there's results. So it's not like, I don't know. Anyways, it's pretty neat to see.
Yeah, I'd love to connect. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Blended Life. We're so grateful for you and your support. Like us on social media. Socials. Yeah, and spread the word. We'd love to grow this community. We'd love to connect. Eric and I have dreams of maybe one day doing a retreat where all of us blended families can meet up somewhere in the U.S. and do a retreat.
With or without kids.
I know. Would you guys want that wives? With or without kids? Maybe you find your wife there. Maybe. Is there wife swapping going to happen?
I was not counting on this, but the TV shows you watch now, Hallmark shows you anything is possible.
Hallmark doesn't do wife swapping or sister wives.
Oh, I don't know.
There's one kiss. That's it.
One kiss?
At the end.
Holy cow. And that's where the magic.
I love Hallmark. Happens.
Anyways, you guys.
And we're not getting a wife. There'd be no way.
I can't even handle the one I've got now.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, don't tell you guys. anyways, you guys, thanks for being with us. We are The Blended Life.
Tune in next week.
See you next time.
Bye.
Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingherdnow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. becomingherdnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.